Greetings tonight again in that wonderful name of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. On tonight, if we want to get from here to there, we have to be in the light. That's when we won't stumble, if we're walking in the light, because Jesus Christ is the light. Good to have you out again tonight, and trust as we look into the Word of God, we can be blessed and continue to press on towards the place where Fanny Crosby was longing to be, to meet him face to face. Quote of the evening is, we cannot avoid growing old. You can take all the right vitamins and whatever else you come up with out there. You can avoid growing old, but we can avoid growing cold. There's a big difference. I've entitled my message tonight, 2020 Vision. When the year dawned of 2020, I thought sometime during this year, I'll have to have, that'll be a simple title. I only can work with simple things. 2020 Vision. So I'll ask you a question tonight. So 2020 Vision, how long should that be until just for this year? Anybody? Has to continue on and on and on. The year may come and go. We still have to have a vision beyond this year, dear people. Maybe we won't have to, but we need it. We'll strive for it. When we use the word vision, I would like to center around, you know, having a goal, letting our eyes see the spiritual things of God. You know, in the new year, at home especially, many people make a New Year's resolution. And, you know, coming 2020, maybe not eat as many chocolates for a week or maybe none. And maybe lose some weight. And we can go on and on with different things that people come with. This sort of as a goal. Some people will say, well, we'll eat more of the 7-grain food and maybe I can get a half a year on my buddies that I live longer. I don't know. And others will say, well, why bother? Why bother with having a vision even of having a goal? Because I'll break it anyway. You know, it's similar to the Old Testament law. You know, it's a long time from one sin offering to the next. So why bother? In fact, those Old Testament saints, over 600 rules, they had to try to fulfill. They couldn't do it. And here in our churches, you know, a few guidelines become very grievous for some people, you know. That's where their center, their mind spins around those few things instead of rejoicing in the blessings we do have. Today, have you thanked God for eyesight? Did any of you get up this morning or during the day and say, Lord, I just thank you that I'm able to see? Anybody? Yeah, well, we're human. I realize that. There's an old brother at home that always blessed me. He was the type that, you know, he'd come in Sunday morning and there was no Sunday school teacher. Okay, I'll do it. Yeah, he was always woman's notice. And he wasn't a boring teacher either. But anyway, he told me that every day as he gets up, he says, Lord, won't you come today? That was his thing. I thought, well, is your marriage not good? Or what's going on that you want to get away from all these good things? No. He loved Jesus Christ. That was his life. And then he said, I always thank the Lord for being able to breathe the air that he made. Okay. He was a thankful person. Yeah. You know, seeing is something to be thankful for because there are many people in the world that can't see. And we take it for granted. I do too. looking at this year, 2020, I had to think of the Snellen eye chart. 20/20 is normal vision for a person. And that is that 20 feet from the object, or most of us have been in a doctor's office, and you can count out somewhere there's a chart in the wall, almost in every room, of different letters spaced out, different ways, different heights, and so forth. That's called a Snellen eye chart. And 20/20 vision is normal vision. At 20 feet from the object or those letters in the office, doctor's office, that is considered normal. 20/100 vision means you have to be as close as 20 feet to see what a person with normal vision can see at 100 feet. And legal blindness is defined as visual or central vision at 20/200 feet. In the best eye. And for many, vision and hearing go together, and for sure in the spiritual tonight. So when I talk about vision, it also affects your hearing, but I haven't got time to get into that. But there's a desire, there's a longing for every person to see. And I'm sure Fanny Crosby, as she was growing up in life, she thought of how nice it would be to see. As other people explained to her, the creation, the glory of it, that she longed, you know, it would be nice to just get a glimpse of that. In Psalm 19, verse 1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech." And that day unto day means it's uttereth speech. There is every new day has something to offer to you that can see. Something beauty. And it's a speech that should, a speech that shows that we should worship God. And it says, and night unto night showeth knowledge. You go out and step out in a nice evening, and all the stars are round about there. I mean, you say, "Lord, how magnificent you are." We can't fathom that. And to be able to behold that, and the Lord likes him, he made all these different things. I often said the Lord, he could have, you know, like we would say, "Well, let's make one color for all the trees and that all over the world, and let's get over with." No. Every country has its own beauty of birds and trees and everything else. Magnificent. But he likes to hear from us, are we worshiping him because of what he has made for us? You know, he's given us eyes to see. The heavens declare who God is. You know, and then the eyes to be able to read books. Isn't that something? And read the book. What a blessing tonight. You know, when the Bible was first printed, was made available for the ordinary people, it changed the lives of cultures and nations because people could get in here. And so this is what it really says. You know, it changed lives and cultures. 1 Samuel 3:1. "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." And this precious means extremely rare. You couldn't find hardly any life of people that were living for God. And here young Samuel came at a time like that, appointed of God, to bring a little flame again alive so that people would know that there is a living God. There was nothing new happening, and nothing was revealed from the Lord. Everything was silent, dire straits. And likewise for us, when God is silent, Likewise for us, you know, when the Holy Spirit doesn't bring, and get this, I don't believe in new revelations, but I believe in new inspirations from the Word of God. If you have 20/20 vision and you're getting into the Word of God, and then you should be inspired. The scripture says, every morning it is new. And as you, but it takes sometimes time. And some days a little more time than others to read. Well, look at that. This is in the Word of God, and I read it for 10 times and 20 times, whatever, and I never really sunk in. That is the working of the Holy Spirit, to have eyes that see the beauty of God's Word and be inspired in a time like this. Or a blessing when we are working with brotherhood and whatever. Sometimes I see after church service that a brother has his Bible out and another one. Something is inspiring them. I hope, not unless it was Rose Preacher. In fact, the ministry were together a while back, so somebody else, I guess they know me, so they said, if all the ministry are together, you won't have Rose Preacher then, will you? I said, no, but we could have Rose Laity. There's more variety. That's not my message, but you get what I mean. There are more people in the congregation than ministry. But we need inspiration. You know, when a person has the Word of God open, he says, look at what I found. Oh, that's exciting, people. Yeah. I found something new. Yet it was old. It was in here thousands of years. It's in here. But, you know, that is inspiration. And that God is still alive. But, you know, we have questions at times. Is God still there? There are needs among us. There's sickness. And we think of the Krause lady that disappeared there in New Mexico. And we ask the question, where is God in all of this? This was a godly young lady. You know, why her? And none of us will have that answer. You know. None of us will have that answer. And the psalmist asked that question about God time and time again. But he always came back through with verses like Psalm 16, 5 to 11. Psalm 16, 5 to 11. He said, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Get that? He says, my flesh is resting in hope. And the psalmist said, I know I'm going to die, but this flesh is resting in hope of the resurrection. For thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, Sheol, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And I believe the brother shared, you know, about eternity. That as eternity goes on, it just seems as you walk with God that he'll open up another door and show you more beauty. I don't know what it's all like. I don't know what it's all like, but it'll endless, endless. But many times it is tears that makes the eyes clean. The very things we don't like and try to evade. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 2 Corinthians 2:9, he said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And dear people, tonight, we have too many strong men in churches. As we become weak, it's then that God can perfect us. And the secret is for 2020 vision is to have a full dependence upon God. As long as we do in ourselves, God can't do much with us. And he loves when we come to the state. When we think there of the Krauss girl, that as that congregation, and hopefully more of us, came to the bottom of ourselves, where is she, Lord? That God can work in the very circumstances that oftentimes bring tears. No. In every workplace, at home anyway, they have those eye cleansing stations. You know, water there and whatever to cleanse your eyes. They are there so when you get dirt in your eyes, you can quickly get it washed out. And it is so important if we want to have open vision. Dirt, whatever in a person's eyes, soon blurs both eyes. We all know that. Yeah. And in order to this tonight to see spiritually, we need to have our eyes cleansed, and we better not be far from the station. The one that can cleanse our eyes is Jesus Christ. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verses 9 and 11 to 11. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I may not sin against thee. And this is not just speaking to a young man, but all men. All ladies too. All of us. We have to heed to what? The whole heart. Let me not wander away. Let me not wander off the path. Because if we do, there'll be numerous problems. Don't have a wandering eye, in other words. There's evil all around us. Church after church is having problems with it. People that have wandering eyes. Why? Because oftentimes, the very thing in your shirt pocket will enhance all of that evil thinking. The Word of God says you're not to stray away from the Word of God. The Word of God is not mere knowledge of the Word, but it's something that has preeminence within me, that has power over the outer body that we're clothed in. Verse 18, the same chapter, it says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Have you prayed that already in your life? It says here, "Open thou my eyes, that I can have 20/20 vision." When I open up the book of the Word of God, and in here it becomes alive to me. There is new inspiration as I read it. There is new inspiration. There is new vigor to continue to press on towards home. Oh, the beauty of the Word of God. Seek the Lord to open our eyes to behold wondrous things in this book. And even nature itself becomes beautiful. You know, and the more you learn of nature, the more you worship God. What makes us tick and keep our eyes clean and clear? With age, people get cataracts, and it's a film covering the eyes. People need surgery, and the results are oftentimes amazing. And then also, when the Lord does the surgery on us, behold, wondrous things we can behold. And thus may happen again and again and again, that we need to have that cataract removed so that we can have 20/20 vision and see beautiful things in the Word of God. And when we take that within ourselves, it becomes alive in us. And we desire by the grace of God to live the Word of God. Verse 19. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. A stranger, a pilgrim. And we realize we're passing through. Jesus said, a person that has 20/20 vision, if you go and buy a property or whatever, and you think you're going to build something, first you'll sit down and you'll draw up a plan. And then comes the hard part for most of us, can we afford it? You know, you don't want to build something and halfway done, and there it sits. Sometimes you see a building like that, year after year after year. They didn't have a long goal. They didn't have a right goal. They didn't have 20/20 vision. Or a leader, when he goes to war, the scripture says he would be a foolish man if he wouldn't stop and say, well, how's my military build up? Can I even think of conquering the country? Is it possible? Twenty-twenty vision makes goals and plans and all of those things. But Abraham of old, he had 20/20 vision. Indeed he did. He had good vision. He was in a strange land. Like the psalmist said, I'm a stranger in the earth. He was living in tents, not knowing where God would send him next. We need people with that same kind of vision tonight. Clear eyes to see what Abraham did, and it's called faith. Faith. I marvel at Abraham. God told him, start out walking. He didn't say, you know, Canada's just ahead. You'll make it there. That's the promised land. No, he didn't say where. He said, start out walking. Yeah. Wow. I'd think my eyes would get blurry somewhere along the line. It says he looked for what? A city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And friends, when we look at who Abraham, what he looked for, he looked beyond the resurrection already of Jesus Christ. And we should so much the more then. He had a long way to look, but he looked for a city and builder, whose builder and maker is God. And I believe that's the New Jerusalem that he was already talking about. That takes faith. Thousands of years ahead. And he looked by faith. Psalm 119, 36 and 37. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity and quicken thou me in thy way. That quicken means to make alive, you know. Life is exciting. Get up, you know, there's something. Incline means cause me to long for, to have the heartbeat of God. Again, like Enoch of old, it says he walked with God. He walked with God. Wouldn't that be precious? God said, he's walking with me. I might as well take him home. Up he went. You know, that's called the rapture in the Old Testament. Some people are scared of that word. But he was called up to meet the Lord. He walked with God. He had a longing The psalmist said, "Cause me to long for you, O Lord." Some jobs need safety glasses. In verse 37 there, it says, "Turn away from vanity, from looking at worthless things. Set your affections on things above and not on this world." Those things that cannot be stolen, those things that cannot rust through, those things that will never lose its value, you know. A lot of people are scared the last couple of weeks because of the stock markets. Apostle Paul had stocks too, already back then. For stocks and bonds, yeah. Around the wrist he was bound and he was held in the stocks. They didn't go up and like a yo-yo either. He was there. People are scared. Those things where a person can pride himself in, those second looks at the opposite gender, whatever, filled with lust. The scripture clearly states that through life, three things hinder an individual: what the flesh lusteth after, what the eye lusteth after, and pride, the things you do to be seen and praised of man. 1 John 2, not the same words, but the same spirit. These three things is what blurs a person's vision and finally makes one blind. In Isaiah chapter 28, Isaiah chapter 28, 7 to 10. This was a scene that was written about. "But they also have erred through wine and strong drink, are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little." Wait the words. Wait the words. A person or a group of people that doesn't have clear vision because they have erred in believing and teaching doctrine line upon line over and over again. For an example, if it isn't taught that sisters should wear a covering, in 5 years' time, there's a lot of people that don't know about it. Young children coming on the scene. A lot happens in 5 years' time. You have to teach these things again and again and again and again. If we want to have the church alive 5, 10 years down the road. I oftentimes asked people, "So why are you doing this, sisters? You know, why do you do? Oh, it's because the church says we have to." Really? If that's the only reason you're doing it, it is of little value. But friends, it's in the Word of God. It's right in here. Do it because the Word of God says so. That is when we get value. That is when we see clearly. And we could mention things on this side of the fence too. You know, what we have to be teaching and teaching and teaching. Yeah. Just like small children. You know, it's not a one-time thing. You have to again and again remind them. Yeah. Psalm 29, Isaiah 29, verses 11 and 15. Let's see. Isaiah 29, verses 11 to 15. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips to honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, Who seeth us? And who knoweth us? Very interesting verses indeed. It says they're passing the buck, as it were. The one says, I can't open the seal. And the other says, I'm unlearned. It reminds me of a time when we were at a reunion at home, and I asked the local deacon brother there he wasn't from our congregation, thankfully. no slack. But I asked him, won't you have prayer for the meal? And he looked around. He said, I'd rather not. There's a minister here. Okay, there were a few ministers there, but I didn't say it. I was kinder than that, thankfully. I said, I didn't ask them. I asked you. You know, passing the buck. Anybody can pray before the meal, I hope. You know. But this was a group of people that said the right words, but their life, their actions show they have no fear of God and the consequences when men don't go back to the word. The seal has been broken of this book, and the Holy Spirit is able to help any born-again person to love it and see what is in here. Friends, you can personally dig in here and get out. For a long time, the Catholic Church held the people suppressed. You know, don't read the book. Don't have a Bible in your home, because that way they have control over you. As soon as people can read themselves, which a person can, what a blessing that is for you to be personally inspired from the Word of God. False vision is when the eyeglasses a person wears gets all speckled with dirt. Or we know people that work in welding shops, they usually don't wear those glasses on a Sunday morning. They're all speckled up, and that's all right. It shows they're in the workforce. But it hinders a person to see the small details of life. It hinders a person from getting into the nuggets of the word if your eyesight has too many blurs in it. I was recently talking with a person. And he said some of his friends, they're very caring, and they give large sums of money for God's work. And I said, wow, that's wonderful. So I asked him, are these people born again? And this is a Mennonite man. And he said, well, he sees things differently than I do. Okay, keep on. Because God is a loving God. These people are doing really good works. No doubt, they're doing good works. But tonight, are we convinced? Do we see clearly enough that it is not what I think? It's not what you think? What does the Word of God say when it says, ye must be born again? Otherwise, all our works are in vain. And praise God for people that do good works. But it will not give you a place in heaven. You can be the best person around, and it will not get you into heaven. Jeremiah 14. Jeremiah 14, 14 and 15. It says, "Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and things of naught and the deceit of their heart. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not. Yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed." The very thing they didn't preach is also the very thing that you will be judged by and I'll be judged by. There are many people in churches, there are many people behind pulpits that have a partial gospel. I heard of a church recently in California. They said, if you want to get really spirit-filled, you have some old friend that died years ago, whatever. And we would say, well, Apostle Paul, he would be a good one if they could find his grave. But let's say a friend that you know that you really loved and appreciated was a godly man. And you go out and lie upon his grave and you can get the spirit up from him. Make your spirit filled. False doctrine to the core. The Holy Spirit doesn't come up from the bottom. He comes from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he wants to fill you. You don't have to get your clothes all dirty laying in an old grave somewhere. They have a large following. They might have two services in the morning. I don't know. But you know, we have to be aware of these things. You and I are living in an age where we need 2020 vision. What does the word say? Because otherwise those things will come in among us. And you can count on it. It'll be chaos. Yeah. Jeremiah 23, 15 and 16. "Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall, for from the prophets of Jerusalem to profane is gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain, they speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord." We're living in very crucial times. And with all the technology, we can get whatever preacher you want out there. And I guarantee you, they'll have a lot more charisma than any one of us here. They can say every word so clearly and so profoundly right that you'll be attached to it if you don't have 20/20 vision. In fact, I'll just throw this in yet. Beware that the mission field doesn't become a mission. Or that the mission field that our people go to, they don't come back and they're not satisfied with us anymore. Casualties are happening right and left because of that. And I don't have all the answers tonight. I didn't study that through yet, but I've seen it in our area. People are going out all over. We should be mission-minded. But we're coming back, and they don't love where they left from. Beware. Beware. Some of these people have huge followings. And this is not something new that is sweeping our land, but clear eyesight is kept by a simple faith in Jesus Christ and this book. Vision refers to the divine revelation received from God to the prophet. And since this book has been written, there have no new revelations been given to man. No matter if you're Muslim, no matter if you're Mormon or missionary or Mennonite, this book is complete. And I trust you believe that tonight from your heart. There are a lot of the Mormons and some of those nice people in a lot of ways. But if you have to add to the book, it's wrong. It's wrong. Men have come and gone. And tonight only the grave of Jesus Christ is empty. Hallelujah, friends. It's the only grave that is empty from all the prophets and the preachers and everything out there. Faith supersedes seeing even the empty grave site. I'd love to go to Israel someday. But some of those sites are whatever is convenient for making profit too sometimes. And there might be some right ones there. I don't know. But I have faith that the grave is empty tonight without ever going. Yeah. Someday it'll be proven when we can come back with the Lord. Some people wonder what I am, pre-trip or post-trip or amillennial, or I don't know what the names all are, but I say I'm a free tripper. Jesus said we can come back with him. Yeah, that's good enough for me. We want to keep our eyes protected. In Psalm 119, again back to Psalm 119, verses 33 to 38. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep the law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline mine ear unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in the way. Establish the word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Give me a willingness to understand. Make me to go in thy path. And again it says, incline mine heart. Cause me to long for you, Lord. Lord, do something in my life that I long for you. Turn my eyes. Again, back to Fanny Crosby. You know, she didn't care to see what this world has to offer in all its beauty. There's a lot of beauty considering how it is marred by sin. There's still a lot of beauty to behold. Last fall, we're coming through Maine and New Hampshire and all through those roads, and Lord, you made that for us. Beautiful. Fanny Crosby Pendlesworth, face to face. What will it be? What will it be? There was a funeral at home about a year and a half ago or two. It was a Mennonite Anabaptist service, and the preacher got up, and I don't go to services to just pick them apart. You know, I go to, but something didn't smell right. And well, the preacher said, now the husband has gone home to heaven, and his wife will be there first to welcome him, and then she will give him a tour, and they'll meet Jesus. Really? Friends, unless we have 20/20 vision, nobody else would have preeminence in heaven as much as Christ. You can have the best marriage on earth, but the scripture says there shall not be male or female in heaven. Will we know each other? I think we do, but it'll not be as your, it'll be as another saint. Yeah, that's what I believe the scripture says. Another lovely person in heaven. They're all beautiful up there. We're all on the same level. We're making a lot of things anyway, you know. Fanny Crosby had it right. Jesus will be first, face to face in heaven. If you think you're going to go to heaven and see your relatives all first and something, I don't think we still have what it takes to get there. In order for that to happen, we all need to experience Psalm 119, verse 59. It says here, I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Where are our feet taking us tonight? The feet follow where the eye is looking. You can count on it. It always does. And the eye only follows of what you already have in the heart, or the brain, the mind. Stop a moment, it says here. Ponder a bit. Have your feet been turned? And that means you have repented of your sins. Can your eyes focus on things that are godly? The Word of God you're holding in your hands, has it become alive to you? Is it a treasure worth living for? Is it a treasure worth dying for? Is it a treasure worth, like that Russian lady that walked for 6 days across Russia under communism because she heard that there's a Bible available that she can have? And as she walked, finally arrived at the place where she could have that Bible, that she took this thing in her hand and she embraced it and she wept and she kissed this word, because she knew this was life. This is what will keep me from going from here to there. If we believe the Word of God tonight, this is real. Oh, for the love. Could we have that love again afresh in our hearts? Think on the way. You're on. Your eyes are telling your fate where to go. What do you see? What do you see? Turn quickly to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verses 22 to 26. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see as men as trees walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any man in the town. A blind man was brought to Jesus, and he begged Jesus, just touch me. He had a faith in Christ. This is the love and compassion again of our Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says, seek and ye shall find. Somebody will lead a blind man even to the right source if he's truly seeking. And it says, Jesus takes him and leads him out of town, away from the rush and bustle. It's a little bit like going to your closet to pray sometimes for inspiration. But now came the unthinkable, where every doctor in North America would be sued if he would spit into somebody's eyes. But I think the spit here, to me, that's gross. And all of society still thinks it's gross to spit on somebody. Sometimes you hear that a person spits on a policeman, and that person is looked down upon, and he should be. But Jesus spit into those eyes, and I don't think it fizzed on that man, because he was already humbled. Yeah. You know, whatever it takes in our lives to get us humble is the secret to be able to see 20/20. Except we humble ourselves, whatever it takes, whether it's spit or whatever. Verse 24, and he looked up. He looked up. He knew Jesus was in front of him, and he looked up to him. And he was asked, what do you see? And he said, I see men walking as trees. And we all know that trees don't walk. This was blurred vision. It was not 20/20. Not at all. In verse 25, Jesus said, look up at me. And Jesus put his hands on him, and he had 20/20 vision. No more walking trees, but he saw every man clearly, and praised the Lord for that. 20/20 vision. Number one, how to be able to have clear vision. Elijah's servants had to have their scales removed, and Paul did too. We need the hand of God upon us tonight, whatever, if it's spit in our eyes. If that's the thing that'll bring us to 20/20 vision. But we need the hand of God, dear people, upon our eyes. And one thing sure, we need the blood of Christ to cleanse us. Yes. If we want 2020 vision, he can do it. He will do it. Yes, he will. But the scripture says, unless a man repents and believes, I'll go on and looks up at Christ, that he becomes our everything. We're looking up. He can give us 20/20 vision. And unless we see that, we soon become a mission among ourselves. No person is a missionary without also living and letting others see what the Word of God is teaching at home by living it. You know, we value a lot of different things in different ways. Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. What am I bidding? Good folk, he cried, we'll start the bidding for me. A dollar, then two, only two, $2, and who'll make it three? Going for three, but no. From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loosened strings, he played a melody pure and sweet, as the caroling angels sing. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, now, what am I bid for the old violin? And he held it up with the bow. $1,000. And who'll make it two? 2,000, and who'll make it three? 3,000 once, 3,000 twice. And going and gone, cried he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, we do not understand. What changed its worth? Quick came the reply, the touch of the master's hand. And many a man with life out of tune, and battered and scarred with sin, is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd. Much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once and going twice. He's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought of the touch of the master's hand. Friends, if we have 20/20 vision, then we see a soul for what it's worth. How to keep the vision? Be a rejoicing person that you're able to see. Be thankful. Ephesians 5:14, it says, wake thou that sleepest and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light and seal. Yes, he will. You know, the person that was asleep when Apostle Paul was preaching up in the window there, he fell out. Tonight, we better not sit on the windowsill. We should be in. Get into the word, friends. Have 20/20 vision. There's safety to be in. Christ will give every seeker the light to be able to walk in his ways. And then as you look around, you'll have 20/20 vision. And you won't see trees walking, but you'll see souls walking towards eternity. Shall we pray? Lord, we come to you again tonight, and we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you love each one here, and not only here, but across the whole world, that you gave your only begotten Son, that no man would have to stand before God and say, there was no way. Tonight there is a way. And when the touch of the Master's hand, we let you touch us, you'll be able to help us to see. You'll help us have a goal that is not only for this year, but on up into eternity, that we want to be with you. You can give us eyes to have a longing to be able to say face to face, what will it be? Oh Lord, we thank you for your promises. But tonight, if there's somebody here that still has their vision blurred, Lord, may your Holy Spirit work in them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.